And now we return to my conversation with author Steve Nash. He is the author of the book Grand Canyon for Sale, Public Lands versus Private Interests in the Era of Climate Change. He joined me to talk more about this book recently via Skype, and he says even though the Grand Canyon seems like something that could not be truly threatened, that's not necessarily the case.
You know, ever since the Grand Canyon was recognized as a wonder of the world, people started talking about, well, how can we protect this so it stays as beautiful as it is? There's been counter pressure from private interests. And the more popular the canyon got, the more lucrative it looked as a business opportunity. Those kinds of ways of evaluating all of our national parks as a sort of a piggy bank rather than something that should be preserved in the public interest, those pressures are still with us.
How much of the Grand Canyon is actually protected right now?
It's about 1 million acres within the national park. And so it was just 100 years ago that the national park was dedicated. After a long fight, Teddy Roosevelt was one of the principals in that fight. So it's sort of a legacy of our great grandparents. And we're still in that fight. It's heavier now than it has been for 100 years.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. One of the biggest threats you outline to the future of the canyon is political, right? This pressure to open up these lands for things like mining. Tell us a little bit about where you think that stands. We know last year the Supreme Court refused to hear the mining industry's challenge to this ban, but what else do you think threatens it?
You know, it's what happens on the periphery of Grand Canyon and the other parks that is often the threat. And we think, well, that's okay, that's on private land. But when it is close enough and large enough, it really makes a difference. Nobody was talking about uranium mining in Grand Canyon. What they were talking about, and there's still conversation about it, despite that court decision, what they were talking about was mining nearby. And the problem with that was the possibility of radioactive contamination of the water that's around the canyon and that can get in the canyon. Similarly, there is a proposal for an enormous shopping center, tourism, commercial experience with condos for sale and lots of big high-rise hotels. All of that is within a couple of miles of the Grand Canyon National Park boundary. Mm-hmm. It would be the third largest commercial shopping center in America. 6 million people came to Grand Canyon last year. That's a river of cash to people who look at the canyon as one of these business opportunities.
Why would you think that would be a bad thing? The proximity to the canyon, or would it just allow too many people to come?
The first thing to say about it is it would be preposterous to bring Las Vegas or Phoenix that near the Grand Canyon. People come to Grand Canyon National Park in order to leave all of that stuff behind for a brief time. So there's sort of the aesthetics to consider. And then there's the fact that Grand Canyon National Park is already overcrowded and oversold for much of the year. It gets extremely crowded there. We're wearing our parks out by encouraging more and more and more crushes of people. Mm-hmm. But the big problem is water. Water is crucial to the life of Grand Canyon. 80 or 90% of the species that live within the canyon live very close to or even in the small seeps and springs. If you put a giant soda straw on the south rim, where water on the south rim is sucked away into all of these commercial enterprises, it may very well be that the canyon itself gets drier and drier and the life of the canyon dies.
Hmm. So that brings us to one of the other big threats that you outline here, which is climate change, right? And the ways in which the environment could affect the park and the wildlife and the sort of whole ecosystem that it represents, right?
Right. Climate change is going to be pushing many of the species in Grand Canyon and Yosemite and Yellowstone, all of the national parks, north principally, sometimes upslope if there's any slope to go up. But they're going to be pushed north to stay within the sort of survival envelope of climate that they've evolved within. They're going to have to migrate. And if we're lucky, they'll be able to. We have an enormous opportunity in the national forests, the wildlife refuges, the huge national monuments, all of those wonderful public lands. We have the opportunity to protect them and consolidate them, in effect turning them into something like a big national park with some exceptions, so that that wildlife, all of those species, can move along and adapt to climate change.
Right. And so consolidating those lands, that would significantly expand the amount of protected land around the Grand Canyon, it sounds like. Is there an argument to be made, I guess, about striking a balance between conservation and keeping the Grand Canyon the way that it is, and also allowing industry to develop and to provide jobs?
Yes, of course, there's an argument to be made, and there are reasonable balances to be struck. The problem is that our political system runs on cash, and that means that when a balance is struck these days, it is always at the expense of our natural systems, and we really depend on them. They're not just there for beautiful photogenic calendar shots. 20% of our supply of clean water comes from our national forests. Balances are fine. Balances are good, but we have to prioritize, and you can't mix oil and gas drilling rigs and clear-cutting timber harvests and copper mines in with wildlife habitat and expect any other result than that the wildlife suffers.
Of course, we shouldn't have a conversation about the Grand Canyon without talking about Native Americans, right? Many of whom live at the bottom of the Grand Canyon and whose land is part of the Grand Canyon. How do you see the reservation land and the tribes that are involved there as part of this larger picture?
It's complex. Tribal interests vary, but many of the tribal leadership have spoken up in favor of preserving what they see, for obvious reasons, as crucially important to their well-being. Those are lands that are outside national park boundaries, but they're very much a part of the Grand Canyon ecosystem, and they are especially concerned about water resources.
Yeah. So I wonder, Steve, lastly then, you know, why it is that you wanted to write about this? I mean, is there something about the Grand Canyon that has captivated you and caused you to sort of want to speak out about its future?
I was in the Grand Canyon talking by chance, really, to a couple of scientists when I began to learn about some of these threats. And the more I inquired about it, the more interested I got and the more critical this got. I hiked out of the canyon with the chief scientist of the National Park a couple of years ago and the man who was the superintendent at that time. And they both told me, look, people think the National Park system is in great shape. It's falling apart. If we don't get people to raise hell in Congress, the whole system is going to be in even deeper trouble. That's why I wrote about it.
All right. Stephen Nash is the author of the new book, Grand Canyon for Sale, Public Lands versus Private Interests in the Era of Climate Change. Stephen, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk to us about this.
Great to talk with you.